This morning, however, we are very pleased to have joining us again Les Payne. Les Payne is a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, reporter, editor, and author who is finishing a biography on Malcolm X that will be published in 2015. Good morning, Les, and welcome back. Thanks for joining Pam and myself this morning.
Good morning, Michael and Pam.
Let's start out just talking about the CIA report on torture. What are your assessments of it and the president's response to it?
Well, I think he made his points and ended with the fact that he did, in fact, upon assuming the office in 2009, did in what has been politely called the enhanced interrogation technique,
mm-hmm.
with the EITs, as
yes,
they call them.
Yes.
I mean, those of us who have taken the opportunity to read those 480 pages that are made public of this 6,700-page documents, most of it's still secret, find it quite chilling, and I think not surprising, given the fact that Vice President Cheney was in charge. He was the point man for the because while President Bush was out riding, I suppose, his dirt bike, it was Cheney who was running this program. We saw his act on the television Meet the Press on Sunday. But I think that when you look at it, they go into the history of it, and Abu Zubaydah, who was the first chief person they had to interrogate, when they interrogated him in Thailand. Most of these interrogations were done offshore, and we learned that as everyone knows, that it was largely outsourced. 73% of the people were outside contractors for the CIA, and I think in all of these cases, I think we need to start naming these people. I mean, this psychiatrist James Mitchell and his buddy Bruce Jessen, these were the people who came up with the program and forced it through. In fact, Mitchell, the psychologist, Air Force type, was one who actually was the first to waterboard Zubaydah. There's no question with that. It's terrorism. And at first, you may recall, I'm sure you do, in 2006, I remember writing about it, that Vice President Cheney was saying then, because what had happened, they were getting ready to put these so-called terrorists on trial, and the CIA wanted protection. They wanted to know, that the U.S. was standing behind Common Article 3 of the Geneva Convention. And Bush then was talking about trying to rewrite Common Article 3. And McCain and Colin Powell came out and opposed it. So Cheney knows darn well that this is terror. It is terrorism under the Geneva Convention. And so what he says now is that these detainees were not covered because they are not regular soldiers. I mean, it is a disgrace to humanity, and I think that Obama, on the one hand, makes the point that, yes, he ended this waterboarding, and he is against it. It is not, quote-unquote, who we are, he says. But I think the next step is that these people committed war crimes and committed an act of terror, and I think those who are responsible should be held accountable. They should be prosecuted.
Well, I mean, this has been the problem for many years, particularly around Cheney. There's many, many times that he should have been prosecuted for war crimes. And what's really interesting, I thought your point about naming the people involved, right, it's such a fascinating point, because it would put that individual responsibility back where it belongs. There's a famous experiment, I don't know, you're probably already familiar with this, but called the Milgram experiment, where a psychiatrist actually looks at the issue of how people respond to legitimate authority, right? And if they, and he asks them basically to torture people. And there's, he sets up an experiment. It's not real, it's fictitious, but they're screaming, they're being tortured. And people still continue to push the button of, electric shock.
Yeah.
Because they perceive the authority as legitimate. So until we, both put blame onto the individuals and say you can't just look at authority that way anymore, and also hold our authority figures and our governmental authority accountable, I don't know what's going to happen here.
Yes, I think you have to separate the villains. You have to identify them. You know, I think this report nails the action pretty conventionally and in plain language, even though 6,000 pages are still secret. But the summary that we'll release is pretty clear. You know, anal dehydration, the kind of specificity
incredible.
That they get into, it's pretty overwhelmingly torture.
Les Payne, well, a couple of issues that we want to touch on today while we have you with us. As we look toward the new year and the Republican control of both houses, what's going to remain of President Obama's presidency? What is he likely, well, we know what he's likely to experience, the intransigence that he has experienced thus far. But going forward, Homeland Security is not going to be funded past, or the money will run out in February. What will his challenges be going forward?
Well, I think the Republican House and Senate will continue to do what we know they've been blocking all along, and that is they represent the interests of that 0.1%. And I think that if you look at, and we haven't looked at all of it because it's 1,600 pages, mm-hmm. you know, this $1 trillion bill, that the spending bill just passed, there's a lot of riders in there, you know, that are bad for the 97%. You know, of the population. So I think that President Obama will still be president, of course, and he still have executive powers, and he's given some signs that he'll continue to use it to the extent possible. So you know, it'll continue to be a fight. Though I think in his closing 2 years, I think he has shown a willingness to use executive authority a little bit more because he may have been convinced, you know, that nothing else is going to work.
Journalist Les Payne is joining us on the line this morning, and this is the New Morning Show on WBAI with Pam Brown and Michael G. Haskins. Les, we saw across this country over the weekend, and not just over the weekend, but I mean these have been ongoing demonstrations of outrage and protest against the excessive use of force by police and the police not being held accountable in neighborhoods in cities and towns across this country. What did you make of this? And some I've heard people call this an American spring. I don't know if we'll go as far as to say that, but I have heard that said. What are your impressions of what happened over the weekend?
It's more like late winter.
Okay.
I mean, I was impressed earlier about, I think it was Pam who made the point about whether this, the gathering Saturday in New York, whether it was a march or whether it was a parade. Mm. And I think the point beyond that is when does it become a protest march? And so I think that my view, and I think that Mimi Rosenberg, I listened to her coverage on Saturday, I think she asked two key questions to Cornel West and someone else. And it was what does white America have to learn that they don't get, mm-hmm. the way she put it, about this police protest and about racism itself. And the next question she posed was how do we go forward with something different with in wake of what has happened? And of course, you know, she got no answer to those key questions. Key questions usually go unanswered, even by Dr. West. But that said, I think my view is that, let me just say that I think the demonstrators, as far as they go, you know, it's great in the sense that there's a mixture in terms of race, gender, and generation. I think their aims and goals, as far as they go, good, but I think they do not go far enough. And my problem with it is that I think that the critique that I would give to the demonstration across the board so far is that it is the common critique that we as African Americans, victim of racism for all these many centuries, have experienced. And that is that everyone agrees kind of that racism exists, but they don't know any. They don't know any racists. and what's happening
right.
here is that this march is concentrating on the victims. Mm. We know by name Eric Garner. Mm. We know Michael Brown. We know Tamir Rice. okay, these are the victims. I think when Newsday, for instance, did a series on racism, they always concentrate on the victim, which is fine. We should not forget these people. But I think that you do not get at it by dealing with the results of it. You have to deal with the causal effects. Therefore, I think that what these demonstrations need to do is to concentrate on the people who are the killers. We should have posters and photographs looking into the backgrounds of Daniel Pantaleo, who killed Eric Gardner, Darren Wilson, who killed Michael Brown, Peter Lang, who killed Akiah Curley, and find out what and Timothy Lohman out in Cleveland, who shot that 12-year-old. Yes. Right. We should have these people, we should look into their backgrounds, and when we look into their background, you'll find, and I'm talking as a journalist, some very interesting things, almost invariably. Timothy Lohman, for instance, was a guy who had been ruled unfit to be a policeman by another police department. He was emotionally unstable, he had a lack of maturity, he broke down on the firing range, and yet he was fired, essentially, from the independent...
That's right, he was fired.
Yes, and he ends up with
for incompetence.
And he ends up, with the Cleveland police, and he shoots this guy. And so I think we need to look into them. And we need to, again, as we said with naming Mitchell and Justin and Cheney, we need to name Lohman and Lang and Wilson and Pantaleo and look into their backgrounds themselves. Since the police department won't separate them, I think the public needs to separate them. Journalism needs to separate them. And I think there should be some signs, because one of the problems with carrying signs saying I can't breathe, there's nothing wrong with it, I understand the spirit, and saying that I'm on my knees, hands up, don't shoot. That's exactly, and ironically, that's precisely what police terror intends to do. It intends to put public on their knees with the hands up saying don't shoot. That's what they want. They love that. It's like being kind to a sadist. And when you say that I can't breathe, they love that. That's exactly what they want you to be. So that is a surrender. And I think that that is not the kind of aggressiveness that you don't deal with a problem by dealing only with its cause or demonstrating its results. You have to deal with the cause.
Right.
I think the cause is racism, and I like to see some of that come along.
Well, I mean, these are such excellent points, and I think that one of the things that has, I think it's maybe actually been sad for many African Americans, just thinking that we're back to a place, or maybe not back, but we never left a place where we're just trying to humanize ourselves, right? We're humans. We're not, Mike Brown was described as a demon, right? You know what I mean? And, you hear that kind of language. And as we've moved into this phase of colorblindness, colorblind racism,
let's just stipulate that we're human. Let's just stipulate that black life counts.
Right.
See, and I don't need that. I mean, you think that I think that Cheney is human and I'm not. I mean, please, you think that. But here's the point, though, is that when you begin to look at Pantaleo and Wilson and Lang and Lohman, what you begin to find, in other words, you won't be defensive. You get out of this defensive crouch, and you get into an aggressive crouch by looking at, investigating, and attacking these people who have attacked you. And I don't mean that you go out necessarily and pull a firearm and put a chokehold, on Pantaleo, but that you attack them. And so I think, I don't like, for instance, when my problem, again, in summary and then generalize it, is that, every racism exists. We don't know any racism. I took a group of black columnists in to talk to President Clinton when he was president, back on the eve of his beginning to go out to San Diego to give his great, what he called, conversation on race. And I asked Mr. President, I said, Mr. Clinton, and we were in the cabinet room, I said, I'm from New York. He could see I was African American. I said, I'm from New York. And I said, the only racists that we know in New York are Farrakhan, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, and a certain Newsday columnist. And I asked him, I said, other than Furman, because Furman was hot at that time,
right,
and David Duke, Mr. President, you're talking about race, could you name me a single white racist? And he didn't.
Right. But isn't part of the problem, Les, that it's structural?
Not just Fox News, but MSNBC. Nobody is a racist. Whites, they grade the test papers of others But they give themselves A's on racism. Everyone admits that racism exists, but they don't know any white races. The only races
That's
are
right.
Jesse Jackson, Farrakhan, you know, and et cetera.
Yeah, so but also name, part of the problem, Les, but I want you to speak to part of the problem being structural, right? Because looking at the individual level, sure, there is the aspect of individual racist animus, but there's also the reality that we have real structural stratification in our society where we're not going to solve the problems that are existing if we only look to the handful of, maybe not handful, but the few handfuls, you know, the armful of police who are actually out there killing young black people, men and women.
No, that's not the end of it. But you can't, what is structure? See, that's the problem. Structure is run by human beings. That State Department apparatus, this enhanced interrogation technique, was run by Mitchell and Jessen, who was hired by the CIA as contractors, who was approved by Attorney General Mitchell, and the CIA lawyers even said that what they was doing was sadistic and terrifying. All right? So you have to put human faces on this and not go after... See, racism is not an abstraction. Racism is an active, engaged thing that is carried out by human beings, and you go after some abstract, this abstract structure that you're talking about. You're talking, in this case, you're talking about Pantaleo, and you're talking about this guy Lang. We're human beings. Let's start there.
Mm-hmm.
And check their motivation. Inspect them.
Inspect them. Well, that very well may be the next phase. Name these people. Les Payne, I want to really thank you so much for joining us and spending this time with us. When we call you, you never say no. We really appreciate that.
And you're doing great, important work. And anything I can do is, until Milston comes back, is okay with me.